The scripture's been read for your hearing, and I'm not going to repeat it again. It's a familiar text, but I want to talk about praying through inner turmoil. That's what I want to talk about this morning, praying through inner turmoil, praying through inner turmoil. Listen, y'all, we've been heavy on prayer this month. Been hearing from people how their prayer lives have shifted, and God has shown the result of that shifting. And I am overwhelmed by how God is working in people's lives and how people are testifying to how God is showing up because they shifted some things and how they've been praying. But I don't want us to get out of this month without making sure we know how to deal with ourselves. You see, it's great when things happen. It's great when things come to pass. It's great when things are working out. But sometimes we still got to deal with ourselves. We got to deal with those hard moments that we don't like talking about. We got to deal with the challenges that come within us that cause serious conflict. Sometimes you have to sit with a struggle between whether or not you want to help somebody because they hurt you. You got to deal with the struggle of doing what God said do that seems insane. And dealing with your reality and saying, I'm comfortable here. You got to deal with going some paths that's going to require you to leave folk behind. And struggle with the fact that you don't even understand why God is calling you to this conflict. All conflict is not some extreme perilous thing. It could be as simple as dealing with pizza toppings. Conflict is not like you're about to go into a fight, but conflict is something that is every day. And some of us, we still don't know how to deal with it. Not because we don't know how to deal with other folk in conflict. It's just us. Some of the things we got to deal with on a daily basis really has nothing to do with other people. It has to do with, I'll start with me. Some of the things I go through or I've gone through had absolutely nothing to do with anybody I ran into. It didn't even have anything to do with people that I was in conflict with. Just had something to do with what I was dealing with within myself. Sometimes to the point where it feels like you can't even pray. Can we be honest? Sometimes you just don't. You don't got it in you to just talk to God. Because you're going through such an inner struggle. Church, that's why the beauty of prayer is this. Prayer ain't really about you or me, per se. It's really about communication. Talking with God for real. That's why you've been hearing me talk and try to emphasize this point and really drive it home. You don't have to come up with poetry to talk to God. Nah, because it's in those moments where it should be as real as it gets. Let me prove the point. Text is familiar. Story is familiar. But let me paint a different picture. Hey, Marissa, how you doing? I'm going to paint the picture because I know you can take your creativity and see this. So imagine being Jesus, hanging out with his friends at a meal, knowing it was the last time they were going to be together, right? Meal's over. Everything's digested. They've prayed. They've cried. They've done all kinds of stuff. And they go to the Mount of Olives, a place that Jesus frequented. He takes his closest disciples. They go to his spot. And he tells them, I need you to wait over here. And all I want you to do, stick around with me for a minute. Stay up a minute while I go a little further. And he goes a little further and it's him and his daddy talking. And they had a pretty frank conversation. Jesus, the savior of the world, right? Jesus, the way maker, heart fixed, mind regulator. Jesus, the one that we sing about and we just talked about how God what opens doors, makes ways, all that kind of stuff. Jesus, the physical manifestation of the Godhead, speaks to the Father like this. Listen, I'm struggling here. If you got another plan to make this stuff happen, I'm up for it. I'm just translating for you. If you got another plan that doesn't involve bloodshed, pain, suffering, let's do that. Let's do it. I am up for it. You know, don't let all these poetic words in any translation of the Bible you read take away the magnitude of what was happening in that moment. He knows what's coming. Okay, Jesus is still a part of the Godhead. He knows what's coming. But as the man Jesus, he speaks to the Father and says, look, I know I'm about to suffer. It ain't just the cross, y'all. He's about to undergo police brutality. Read your Bible. They didn't just take him in. They beat him up the first time on the first arrest. Then he would go and deal with a corrupt judicial system that would try, they would charge, try, and convict him of a crime that he didn't really commit. And then he would get an appeal. And then they were put into the hands of people who were riled up with mob mentality to say that he still ain't worthy of the pardon. And they would pardon a murderer named Barabbas. And then after the appeal didn't overturn his conviction, he would be beat up again, bloodied, and then given the instrument of his destruction to be placed on his back to take it 900 feet, 300 yards, uphill, 200 pounds on him, to then be placed on it and nailed down to it, to hang suspended while gravity pulled on him for 6 hours. That's what he saw. So he said to his father, if there's another way, I am up for it. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Here, church, this is where I don't want you to just jump on the nevertheless. Jump on the reality of what he's saying. He's saying, I'm conflicted. I don't want to do it because I know what is going to happen. But I want to do your will because it's your will that must be done. See, church, we don't want to be honest all the time, but there's things that God asks us to do that seem so beyond us that we never ask the question why. Conflict. On the one hand, I can do it without the pain. But on the other side, I want to fulfill the will of God. On the one side, there's going to be something involved that's going to make me uncomfortable. But on the other side of it, if I do what God says, that means there's going to be a result that is necessary and is going to be of greater benefit. That's conflict. There are times when you and I are going through all kinds of stuff and God says, hold on and hold out. But at the same time, we're saying to ourselves, I'd rather quit and give up and just stop right here because it hurts too much. Can we be the real church? Every Sunday is not easy to get up. Every Sunday you show up is not the easiest. But the fact that you showed up means that you had to deal with some conflict within you saying, if I stay back, I'm going to wallow in this. But if I go and meet my creator right now while I'm going through, I know there's something on the other side of this. This is not to negate what people go through. I am just up here to explain to everybody, every one of us has got to deal with the conflict. Because if we don't deal with the conflict, we will never go where God wants us to go. You got to deal with it. But when that inner struggle causes you not even to talk to God, that's when you know it's getting hot. Because one thing that the devil wants to do, devil can't do too much to you, but the one thing, if he can get his way, is to silence you. Because if I can close your mouth, if I can cause you not to communicate, then I know that even though I ain't got all power, I've done enough to what? Deter you, to disrupt you, to discourage you. I want folk to work through discouragement today. So let me help you out. We need to get on the other side of the conflict. So how do we do it? Number one, you got to work through the moment. You got to work through the moment. You got to work through the moment. You got to actually say to yourself, I'm mad. You got to actually say out of your mouth, I'm sad. You got to say out of your mouth, I'm scared. You got to actually open up your mouth and say, in this moment right here, I am not the epitome of salvation. I know that sounds almost contradictory, because when you read scriptures like God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. Know that. That God will never leave us nor forsake us. I know that. That God has already protected me, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I know that. But in this moment, I don't feel that way. And for the over saints, as I'll call them, the ones that basically will look at you and I and tell us in no uncertain terms that anything we say that is negative right now is some kind of spirit. Let me help you out. This ain't a spirit thing. There is such a thing as dealing with your emotions. There is such a thing as dealing with mental and emotional struggle. There is such a thing as wrestling with depression. There is such a thing as wrestling with the results of all kinds of circumstances. And yes, church, there is such a thing as not trying to demonize things that are beyond your control, because everything ain't a demon. I wrestle because what I want to do is please God. But what I struggle with is that in this moment it's hard. Yeah. I want to serve God at my optimal best, but I'm hurt. I want to give God my best effort, but somebody done made me mad for the last time. I want to help, but I don't want to be used. I want to love, but I don't want to be abused. You got to work through it. And guess what, church? If you don't try, you'll never get through it. Which means that like Jesus in that moment, he didn't say, Father, I'm really cool with this. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm all right with it. And we ain't got to talk no more. We can just go on forward. The devil is a liar. Read the text. It says, if there's any other way, tell me that plan. This is Jesus saying this. This is why I bring it up. You are not the only person that has ever struggled. When you, the Bible says that you have a high priest that knows about the infirmities, the issues of humanity, and at all points was tested. But guess what? He didn't sin. Don't dwell on the he didn't sin part. Dwell on the fact that Jesus was tested. And the same stuff that you and I need to get through a test, Jesus needed too. And he what? Worked through it. However you got to work through it, work through it. I don't care if folk think you're crazy for being silent for a period of time and you just need to hear from God and do nothing else. Work through it. I don't care if all you do for a period of time is read your word and lock yourself in and say, God, just give me direction. Work through it. I don't care what you got to do. If you know that you're dealing with the emotional and the mental and you need to go to a counselor, baby, work through it. Whatever you got to do, work through it. Because if you don't, you'll be stuck. But then it leads to the next thing. You got to pray honestly. I'm looking for the day before I close my eyes or the rapture comes when people will stop coming into church and lying during prayer. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, God didn't ask for us to come up with poetry. Oh, Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we beseech thee at this appointed hour. We gather with our knees bent, body bowed, to petition your power and your grace that you might show up in the midst of what we are going through. And God, if you would not mind showing yourself strong in our situation, we will be pleased and happy to give your name glory, honor, and praise. Nothing in that said anything about what you're going on, what's going on. You covering up for people that at the end of the day can't help you. You trying to prove to people that you're righteous and you are pious? Can I tell you what true piety is? When you get the audacity to go to God and say, listen, I need your help. I ain't being disrespectful. I know you can do it all, but that's why I came. Because I am going through hell. And I need you to do for me what I can't do for myself. An honest prayer gets answered a lot faster than a cover-up. God already knows what you're dealing with. What God is asking you and I to do is actually say it. Because you know what happens when you actually say it? It becomes real. I can deny things for as long as I can, but the moment I actually say it, I can't deny it anymore. Church, we can't live in denial. Jesus was not in denial. Jesus knew this was about to get ugly. And Jesus said, I need to know one last time, is this it? If this is it, then we go forward. If you got another plan, I would love to know that right now. Talk to God honestly. Don't go to God holding back stuff that God already knows. Talk to God honestly, because it's actually going to help you in where you go next. Next thing is pray earnestly. Pray earnestly. Here's how deep it was for Jesus. He prayed until the sweat on his body came down like drops of blood. Depending on who is talking about the exegesis of this text, one thinker might say that it was just the magnitude of sweat that was coming off of him, that it was dropping heavy because he was so in earnest in his prayer that he broke out in a heavy sweat. But another might say and suggest that according to some medical science, that he was breaking out in such a way that it caused a medical condition that actually caused him to bleed like he was sweating. Either way, it was intense. Sometimes you need to pray with some urgency. Let me tell you what urgency don't look like. My only son, the apple of my eye, he acts like his daddy. Tells me every morning, "Daddy, I want to be like you." Soft place, right? My son. Can't deny him if I wanted to. Gets on my last nerves Monday through Friday. Let me tell you why I get on my nerves Monday through Friday. Because every morning I dedicate it because of what I didn't have and what I did have. I said with my son that every morning I'm going to get him ready. I said that since he was a baby. I was like, every morning I want my son to see my face every morning and know that his daddy's present. And that's now translated into getting him ready for school. I don't understand how a kid like Charles Jeremiah Ferguson, who runs around everywhere, who builds toys that are beyond his age range, who shows all kinds of intelligence, who is able to take care of himself to a certain extent, very independent kid, doesn't have to make breakfast, breakfast already made, don't even got to start his own bath, it's already set up. Got every advantage to do everything he needs to do, even knows how to dress himself to a certain extent. How every morning we live 2 minutes and 30 seconds from his school. I'm talking about the drive. 2 minutes, 30 seconds, 150 seconds away from his school. And how is possible that a boy that is completely able to do things for himself with plenty of time has to hear his daddy's voice every morning. Move! Run! Let's go! Come on! Let's go! You're ready! Come on! Move it! I need you to hit that corner in the house. Get your stuff. Let's go! Get outside, car's near the door, let's go, it's unlocked, get in the car, do what you gotta do, come on man, you are not short, you can get up in this car, I don't need to help you, come on, you gotta put some movement on it, get some urgency in you, every morning. And yet, God looks at us the same way. Knowing we going through all kind of stuff, we ain't going to be honest about it. But he's like, well, at least have some urgency. I'm actually here to help you if you open your mouth and actually say it. Yes. Come on, let me prove the point. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock. And don't cute knock. Act like you kicking the door down. Knock. And we don't want to do it because we think we can figure it out. And we're going through all this stuff. And God said, I care about all of it if you just come to me. Put something behind it. Show up. I just want you to come. Come on, I can fix it. And we still halfway walk to God like he can't do it. Jesus prayed so hard that the sweat off his body was dripping like he was already bleeding. He had urgency. Church, pray with urgency. Pray like it, like your life depends on it. Pray in such a way that the Lord knows you're serious. Don't pray to prove something to us. Pray for yourself such a way that it's important enough to you to say, God, I need you more than the air I breathe. I need you more than anything. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you. But after you do all that, you got to rise up. Last thing, you got to rise up. Here's the part of the story that isn't read today, but it's a part of the story. Jesus eventually got up from that place. Some of y'all already catching on. Come on, stay with me. We, like I said, we almost done. We about to go. Listen, he got up after he did all that praying. He rose up. The father didn't answer audibly. But he got up. He walked out of his spot, came back, saw his boys asleep, gave them the business. But watch this. The beginning of the plan A was waiting on him. Yes. The father answered by Jesus being approached by the police and his betrayer, letting them know this has to happen. But do you think I'm gonna leave you there? Nah. What did we already establish? Plan A was he was gonna suffer. He was gonna bleed. And guess what else? He was going to die. Let me tell you something. When you finally get up, you get up because you now have a process to begin to get to the end of what God has promised. Let me close it right. Fred, Jesus suffered after he prayed. Jesus bled after he prayed. And sure enough, Jesus died after he prayed. But you know the end of the story? 3 days later, he got up after he prayed. I'm going to try that one more time. He suffered after he prayed. He bled after he prayed. He died after he prayed. But he still got up after he prayed. Come on, let me try one more time for the Holy Ghost because we're there. He suffered after he prayed. He bled after he prayed. He died after he prayed. But he got victory when he got up after he prayed. So I know you may be looking for an instant answer, but let me tell you something. You might suffer after you pray. You might even have to bleed in some places after you pray. You may even die in front of folk after you pray. But let me tell you something. The promise is that you're still going to get up after you pray. So you already got the victory. You just got to make it through. Is anybody in here that knows about making it through? Because no matter what you pray and no matter what you're going through, God will bring you through. And because God will bring you through and because God will bring you out, you ought to shout right now before it's all said and done. Because no matter what you face, God has already worked it out and you already got victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. He bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him at all. My love is due him. He plunged me, hey, into victory beneath the cleansing flood. I'm so glad. And no matter what, I still got it. Don't stop praying because of what you think may be coming. You pray to make it, because it's one thing I forgot. Because while he was praying, it said that an angel came by and strengthened him. You may not like the answer, but God has already sent provision to get you ready. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Just like every boxing match you ever watch, the corner ain't really about getting you together. It's about telling you, I know you got through this round and it was hard, but guess what? You can do this. You still got a puncher's chance. You can do this. God's already going to let you know. It may be tough, but you can do this. The Bible says what? I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Work through it. Pray honestly. Pray earnestly. But when it's all said and done, rise up. Rise up.